be true. Woo, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, we're honored that our guests are with us today. Every one of you, we're so blessed to have you. Brenda, good to have you today. And oh, Sister Jessie, you got wonderful guests with you today. We're so honored that you've come today. Everybody in the house of God, we welcome you. But we welcome the God of the house. Amen. Praise God. We do want to go to the Lord in prayer. Sister Tamara is in Memorial Hospital last night. She had to go. Brother Shorty is doing so much better, but we believe in the Lord for complete restoration in his body. Brother Boren, just out of the hospital the other day, some things were changed, blood pressure stuff. We want to pray for Brother Buddy Goodman, that God would touch his Sister Rhonda's daddy, that God would touch and minister to his body today as well. Other needs that we're praying for, that God would just grace and minister, amen, to lives and hearts and souls, amen. And I'm thankful that God can heal, amen. A while ago we heard that prayer works, amen. I said prayer works, amen. God works, hallelujah. And the engine of the church is always prayer. Praise God. We're not here to perform, but we're here to let God have his way. Praise God. Would you pray with me over these knees? Lord, thank you today for the grace and the power that you've given that we could come to you. That you're still the great physician, our healer. That you're still our God and our help, Lord Jesus. We love you and we praise you today for answers. We thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you for your help and your mercy, God, at work in our lives. In Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Our youth class may be dismissed in Jesus' name. Amen. And again, it's good to see your face in the house of the Lord. Nobody could take your place. We're glad you're here. Nobody could do your worshiping. Amen. Nobody could do your part but you. And we're grateful today. Praise God. We're grateful for what God's doing. Amen. In lives and souls. And we pray for our community and our neighborhood. We pray for your neighborhood. And we're asking God to fill with his spirit lives and hearts. Amen. Praise God. We go into Psalm the 37th chapter. Psalm chapter 37. Amen. I appreciate your prayers from me and the different things that's been going on in my body. And we're glad to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. And we're seeing things, and we're grateful for the strength that I feel today in the Lord, and the physical strength as well. Amen. You don't realize how great you got it till all of a sudden you start losing, amen, some steam. Amen. You start losing some pressures there, and all of a sudden it starts bowing you down. I don't care how strong you may be. It don't take but just one little bitty thing to begin to cause a change. But we want to go to Psalm 37, verse 23. Psalm 37 and verse 23. The word of the Lord says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he, speaking of God, delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, and his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Are you thankful that God knows what's going on in your life? Amen. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I'm glad today that my God's in control. Hallelujah. Even when things seem to feel like they're going out of control, my God knows what he's ordering. I'm thankful today that God has the whole picture, don't you? Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the word. We thank you for the truth. Thank you for the divine power of your spirit in operation today. God, would you feel, would you minister, Lord, and Lord, in this service this morning, let your spirit, Lord, speak to us. Hear, let us hear what your word is saying. And God, I pray that you would guide us tonight with the lamp of your word into a closer relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The steps of a good man, ordered by the Lord. God prescribes your life. When you follow him, amen, he's going to lead you the right direction. I'm glad the Lord is my shepherd today. Amen. I'm glad that God knows and he sees what I need today. Even though that there's times that will come in your life that you don't understand what's going on, I'm glad that my great shepherd does. Because when he leads you, it's for your good. It's for your soul's sake. And I was reading in Acts chapter 16, about the Macedonian call. God was pouring out his spirit in different places, and the Lord spoke to Paul, the apostle, and he saw in a vision somebody calling and said, come and help us. And he heard, and he's seeing this in his vision. But the Bible says right before that, he was forbidden by the Holy Ghost to go preach in Asia. Don't you know that when God said, no, I don't want you to go to Asia, God put a stop there. Paul said, but you know, I was wanting to go there. But God had a plan that was bigger than mankind. Are you thankful for the time that God said no to you and you didn't realize what the no meant to live it down the road? I'm thankful for the no in my life. And sometimes when God says no, there's a greater yes for you. Amen. So we find that here Paul goes to Macedonia. This is the first time in recorded history that the gospel reaches the continent of Europe. And Paul goes there not knowing, but he, in a vision, he heard a man say, come and help us. But it was after the Lord said, I don't want you to go to Asia. I'm telling you, when God shuts a door, God has a purpose for it. And when God says no to you, there's a reason for it. And the Bible says that he goes there, and immediately when he gets there, Paul and his companions, after arriving in Philippi, a Roman colony in Macedonia, Europe, that Paul meets a wealthy merchant lady who sells purple cloth. Her name was Lydia. The Bible begins to specify she was a worshiper of God. She was seeking and worshiping God. And likely a Gentile God-fearer. The Lord opened her heart when Paul came and Paul began to preach to these there. And she heard him. And listen here. Even though she was a worshiper, God still had more for her. There's a lot of people that worship and read their Bible, but God still has more for us. And let me just go a little step further. There's some of us that reads our Bible and pray and worship God. But I want to tell you, amen, God still has more for you as well. Don't be satisfied with your experience with God. God wants you to grow your experience with him. God wants you to grow your relationship with him. Let's look at it. So here, the woman, Lydia, begins to, I mean, a well-known lady, a merchant, business owner, who sold purple cloths, clothing, and different things there. Everybody knew who she was. But she heard the gospel that day, and guess what happened? She and her household was baptized in Jesus' name, and she offered Paul and his team hospitality. The first church in Europe was started in her house. Amen. All because at first the Lord said to Paul, no, I don't want you to go to Asia. And God began to give him a vision of somebody up in Europe saying, hey, come here to Macedonia. And when they arrive in Philippi, amen, they find here a woman, and she was a worshiper. Hear me, amen. And God filled her and her household with the Holy Ghost. That was the first start. Not only that, I'm going to just show you how God begins to operate. He orders our steps. God begins to set us in the right direction. And here's Paul, and they were in there, and as they were all through that city, the Bible says that there was a slave girl in Acts 16 that had a spirit of divination. She and Paul and his companions encountered this little girl, and everywhere she went, she would follow behind them, and in a mocking sense said, "These are the servants of the Most High God." What she had to say was right. But the way that she kept on was an indication that it was not of God. And the Bible says this young slave girl had the ability to tell fortunes. Everybody would come to her, and she made a lot of money for her master. She was a slave. And that spirit, demonic spirit on her, caused her to tell everybody their future and their fortune. But that day, as she followed Paul and his group, the Bible says all of a sudden, Paul casted the demonic spirit out. And when the demon left this girl, I know what God did. God completely transformed the situation. Amen. And the Bible says she couldn't be used by divination anymore. And her master saw that they could make profit off of her. So they went to the magistrates, the judge, and the police, and the authority. And they began to lie against Paul and Silas. And guess what they did? They beat Paul and Silas with rods. They beat them with rods on their back. And they threw them in prison and bound them hand and feet in the innermost part of the prison. I'm telling you, it seemed like, oh my, here we go again. Something else. Something else has happened. But I want to just tell you, God still orders steps. God's still in control. And I want to talk to you today with this little thought in mind. Amen. When opposition positions you, when God is in control, sometimes God wants you to face your opponent. Sometimes there's going to be a Goliath in your life that it has a lot of power and a lot of threats. But friend, you plus God makes up the majority. I'm glad today that my God is still for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? The order steps of God begins to lead Paul. Now, here's Paul and Silas beaten. And in a Roman jail. But the Bible says, with a will at midnight, Paul and Silas could look at each other and started crying. He said, why in the world would we get ourselves into so much trouble? But they got in trouble because they were doing what's right. And the Bible says, Paul and Silas at midnight began to praise and sing unto God. Hallelujah. I want to tell somebody, when God's in control, God's in control. Paul and Silas knew this. Amen. They had felt opposition, but in this case, opposition had positioned them to do something for the King of Kings. And God was filling people with the Holy Ghost. God had just delivered a little slave girl from divination and demonic spirits. And the power of God was moving in Macedonia. I'm telling somebody today, God knows how to position you in spite of opposition. Well, now Paul and Silas beaten and hurting. The Bible says they began to sing praises unto God. And all of a sudden, the jailhouse began to rock. Elvis thought he had jailhouse rock patent. Amen. But I want to tell you, God had already patented. Amen. Because as when they began to praise God, the earth began to shake. The doors of the prison began to open up. And the Bible says that the jailer, realizing what was happening, the doors of the prison was open. He drew his sword and was fixed to fall on his sword. He knew that if one prisoner escaped, that he and his family would be killed, completely executed for allowing people to escape. When he was fixed to fall on that sword, Paul said, hold it. Don't do yourself any harm. We're all here. And the Bible says he took Paul and Silas into his house. Listen, and he washed their wounds, the stripes on their back, and put meat before them and fed them. But in the midst of this, I want to tell you what happened. The same night, Paul, amen, and Silas baptized the jailer and his house in the name of Jesus Christ. You see what opposition did? It positioned him, amen, to preach the gospel again. And so even though the devil tries to stomp this out, God has a plan and God has a way of getting things done. Praise God. And after baptizing it, somebody said, you really don't have to be baptized. You really don't have. There's two counts right here in Acts 16. A worshiper, one that believed in God, Lydia, but she and her household was baptized. Baptism is for the remission of sins. Don't tell me that people say, well, you don't have to be baptized to be saved. That's not what this good book is saying. This Bible tells us you got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. You got to be baptized. You must obey the word of God. Lydia was baptized. And if it was not, if it wasn't so to be baptized, why did the household, the jailer and his household get baptized at midnight? Back in those days, we have a baptistry here. We have water that is hooked up here, even hot water. And I think we have a new heating system now. Only thing we have to do is turn it on, let her go. But can you imagine in a jail how many buckets of water it took to fill up some kind of baptism or place. They had to find a place to baptize. And can you imagine in the middle of the night them drawing water with buckets to fill up a place to baptize? Fill up the bathtub, honey. Here we come. Amen. Bucket after bucket. The only running water they had was the slaves that ran back and forth to get the water. And they filled up, but it wasn't inconvenient for them. Even though it was midnight, it was obeying the word of God. And there are some people need to learn to obey the word of God. Whether it's baptism, you need to obey it, or whether something else in the word of God. The word of God speaks for itself. Quit trying to argue and twist the word. Just do what it says. But how inconvenient. But how convenient it was that night for the gospel to get to the house of that Philippian jailer. Hallelujah. You see, opposition came. Opposition flared up, but it positioned Paul and Silas just at the right place. I wonder how many other people in that jail that night received the Holy Ghost. You see, God was scattering the seeds all over Europe for a mighty revival. And you think about it. Here they were, falsely charged, all because some demoniac slave girl could no longer bring money to their owners, because the Holy Ghost came in and ran out every demonic spirit. I'm telling you, friend, they went to the law charged them, they beat Paul and Silas, they threw them in jail, but you know what, the next morning, they sent a message, you need to let those guys out. Paul said, Can you imagine? Paul said, no. Y'all come and get us out. You the one put us here. You come and get us. We're Roman citizens. They did not realize that Paul was a Roman citizen. It was illegal for a Roman citizen to be beaten without a trial. They were in trouble now. I'm going to tell you, when you are a citizen of Jesus Christ, amen, you belong to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, amen. More than being a Roman citizen, Paul and Silas was a heavenly citizen. They had a citizenship, amen, a right that was beyond this world. I'm going to tell you, God knows his people. God knows his sheep. And God sees everything you're going through. He will order your steps, even when opposition comes to you. So they came, and when they realized, they were embarrassed. We have to release these people. We committed a major felony. We beat illegally citizens of Rome. Paul and them was released, but that's okay. The Bible begins to teach from that. The gospel history will tell you. The gospel began to spread all over Europe, all over Philippi. The people received the gift of the Holy Ghost and were baptized in Jesus' name. All because God ordered some steps. And sometimes in our life we think, oh God, what's going on in my life? I don't realize why all this bad thing is happening. Hey friend, you'll never know a miracle till you begin to face opposition. You'll never know healing till you have pain. You'll never know a provision until you have a need. God lets you, he puts you in opposition's way to prove that he's still God. You think with me. Scripture said he ordered the steps. Orders the steps. Abraham of old lived in a place, Ur. It was a very wealthy place, a very cultural place. The Lord said, get out of there. Abraham did not have a preacher. Abraham did not have a Bible. All he had was a voice from heaven that said, get out. Abraham didn't have time to fabricate excuses. He didn't try to say, okay, God, I need some more signs. I need some more things. No, no, no. He obeyed God. You see, faith will always cost you making a step against opposition, against the logic. A lot of times, if we don't figure it out, we don't obey. Friend, there's some things that will not make sense to you in this hour. It does not make sense why you have to be baptized in Jesus' name. But the book says it. It may not make sense to you right now. But when you understand and you see the beauty of wearing the name of Jesus Christ on your life, it makes total sense. Amen. Opposition. Faith. Faith has to counter opposition. And the Bible says the steps, sometimes steps are baby steps. Sometimes we take those first little initial baby steps. How many of you remember the first steps your child made? Some of you that had babies and you were so excited. When Austin made his first step, I imagine grandma and grandpa got a phone call. I imagine your mama got so excited she let them know, guess what, mom and dad? Austin is taking his first steps. And I mean, oh, how exciting. You remember where that was, Sister Kara? See, she remembers it. She remembers those first steps. Do you remember the first steps of your oldest child? Yeah. It's amazing. Can you imagine? Mama said, next thing she knows, she wants to see it again. Come on, Austin. Look, he don't have to think about it any longer. He just automatically steps. But you know what, Austin, that first step, it was a wobbly situation. And I know he can mimic like a little baby making a step. Yeah. Yeah. And in faith, sometimes our steps are not really sure. Sometimes it's wobbly. Sometimes it's just a baby step. But faith will cause you to learn to walk with God. God don't want to leave you right where you're at. God wants to teach you that you could be able to walk. He don't have to think about it now. And you could skip. I've seen you jump. See there? Watch this. Yeah, I have a 2-year-old grandson. He can't do it yet. But I'll say, Henry, hop on one leg. Henry can't hop on one leg yet. He doesn't understand the balance. Why, Austin could do it. Hop on one leg, Austin. No problem for him. Because he's mastered it. He's mastered the sense of balance in his life. He learned to ride a bicycle. You remember that? You remember when Austin rode that bicycle for the first time? Well, I'll tell you, the first time I got on a bicycle, it rode me. But Austin, that first bicycle, I remember Isaac. We were in Honduras, and we were in Honduras at a camp meeting, and the caretaker for the campgrounds had a little boy named Davy, and Isaac got on Davy's bicycle, and it was there in La Ceiba, Honduras, that Isaac learned to ride a bicycle after falling about 10 times. ready to learn. We were so excited. And here we were. We couldn't wait to get home to tell everybody. Isaac learned to ride a bike. Now, you don't even have to think about getting on a bicycle. I mean, it's amazing. At first, steps are just baby steps. But there comes a time in life that steps will change. You will start graduating. Your steps become something different. They become inclines. They become something you had to pick your feet up and begin to go. Gravity pulls against you when you're going uphill. And you learn your faith causes you to step up in life. Take another step. I mean, I watch these little toddlers when they first come to church. They're fascinated trying to get up here. They're fascinated trying to master these steps. And I still hadn't mastered them sometimes. I've fallen. But hear me. There's something about the steps of faith. Abraham, get out from your family and you just follow me. Lord, where are we going? The Lord didn't say where he's going. He said, just follow me. And there's sometimes, Austin, God will just say something. And God wants you to follow him. Quit saying, okay, God, is there going to be cell service there? Will we have internet there? When God calls you, you just need to say yes to God. God has a plan for your life. Paul and Silas didn't say, I wonder if there's internet in Macedonia. Are there going to be Holiday Inn Express there? Are there going to be nice place? No, no, no. If God calls, God will equip and God will set things in order. When opposition begins to say no, there's a purpose, friend. Understand that God's wanting to develop something in you. He wants your faith to grow from baby steps to where you could. You come up now this. Abraham learned the steps with God of faith. We're not done with you, Abraham. After a while, God began to bless Abraham tremendously. And Abraham had a nephew. Look at your old nephew, Lot, right there. Yeah, come on, Wesley. You know what? Because God, he had been following God, old Lot decided he wanted to follow Uncle Abe. Yeah. Uncle Abe. And guess what? Because Uncle Abe followed God, everything that followed Uncle Abe was blessed. So Lot became blessed. Lot became prosperous because this man followed God. I want to tell somebody, when you follow the Lord will bless you and you will have a favor that's from on high. And everything that will get on your trail, God will bless it as well. Your household, God will bless. God will prosper you as you follow him. So, here's Abraham. And make your journey. I mean, Lot follow everywhere he goes. They started out just with nothing but their families and just a few head. Pretty soon, God began to bless them to where their sheep, their cattle was so great that Lot's herdsmen and Abraham's herdsmen started fighting. I got here first to the water spot. No, we did. And Abraham, there was always confusion. You see, the problem is Lot never got what Abraham got. He just learned to follow, but he didn't learn how to get a personal relationship like he needed. See where I'm going? You better have a personal relationship with God. You can't just think, oh, well, I'm going to heaven just because I go to church. Going to church don't make you a Christian, and going to church won't get you to heaven. You better have a relationship with God. Don't be a Lot that just follows suit. Just because I'm here because this is a gravy train. I'm here just because this is a blessing opportunity. No, friend, you need to fall in love with God yourself, and you need to have a relationship with God. Their flock began to grow and problems began to grow. Finally, the Lord spoke to him and he said, you need to get rid of Lot in your life. I'm talking to somebody right now. You may have some Lots in your life that needs to go. There may be some things in your life that you like that you need to say, you had to go. Abraham knew the plan of God so well. He knew the hand of God that he said, I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to give you first pick. And oh, Lot said, whoo. In his mind, he's thinking, whoo, first pick. Oh, Uncle Abe, yeah, you're the elder. No, I insist. I want to tell you, when you give the preference, amen, God will always honor. Look, he said, you can go to this way or this way, your choice. Well, old Lot looked around and he seen the well-watered plains of Jordan. And he looked at those mountains and he thought, ugh. Those mountains are steep. It's a lot of work up there. There's a lot of mountain lines in those mountains. But the well-watered plains of Jordan look so good. I don't have to work. I don't have to do so much. And the Bible says he chose the well-watered plains of Jordan. Man, he thought he had the best choice. No, he had the best choice because God was who he was following. You hear me? I'm telling you, you're so much better off following God than anything else in this world. I'm telling somebody in the Holy Ghost, obeying God is the greatest thing you could ever have. Well, I can't afford, Pastor. I can't afford to do this. By the way, friend, Tuesday night's church night here. Amen. It's sad to look, and some of you are well capable to be here. Amen. Come on, you need to be at Tuesday night. It's still church night. Amen. Hear me? Amen. Oh, I'm pastoring right now, but let's get back to this. Oh, Abraham. You have the mountains, buddy. But this man right here didn't realize that God was going to bless Abraham either way. Instead of going to well-watered plains of Jordan, I want you to think about it. Pretty soon it'll tell off on you. If you're not following God like you should, it's going to tell off. Guess where he ended up? Instead of taking his sheep and his herd and being that one that watched over that, he ended up in Sodom and Gomorrah. Get way over there, bro. Far to the wrong side, bringing his family, bringing his wife and his kids to a place of filth and pollution and corruption. Hear me. You better watch your choices in life. You think, oh, we're safe enough to, oh, we can handle Sodom and Gomorrah. You can't handle anything if you're not following God. I don't care how strong-witted you are. I don't care how good looking you are. I don't care how talented you are. If you're not following God, you're going to end up in a pit. Pretty soon, Lot lost everything. He lost his children. They intermarried. And I'm telling you, things started happening. Just sit down over there. And in order to get him out, it took the angels of God, to go and get him by the hand and lead him out and jerk him out. You know the reason why God sent angels? All because there was a man over there praying. All because there was a righteous man that still followed God. I want to tell you, you can't outwit a praying people. And a praying church is what God wants. God don't want a people that it comes here and just looks good and just performs good and just sounds good. No, God wants a people of prayer. The engine of the church is still prayer. I don't care how well we sing. I don't care how well somebody gets up here and exalts. Amen. Hear me. Prayer is the engine of the church. Abraham was praying. As a result, God said, I'm going to answer your prayer. Send angels. And got Lot by the hand. And had to get him by the hand. You know why he had to get him by the hand? Because he hadn't learned to follow God. How many times God had to come get you and jerk you out of the pit? How many times God had to get your attention and pull you out? Then the Lord said, whatever you do, don't look back. And I heard it this week. Whole Lot probably looked at his wife and said, did you leave something back here? And he said, are they following us? No. The Bible says something happened. And Lot's wife looked back. And judgment came on her. And immediately she turned to a pillar of salt. God had to take Lot out by the hand. Thank you, Brother Wesley. But Abraham was one that followed God. I don't want to be a Lot. I want to be one that's sensitive to the Holy Ghost. How many times God has to warn you? How many times God has to come to you and get you by the heart and get you to the place? How many times the ministry has to come to you and say, come on, you can't do that. That's foolish. You're going to lose your children. Amen. But you think you're smart enough. You think you got it all figured out. Hey, don't be a fool by fooling with the things of God. Obey the word of God. Abraham, the Lord comes back to him. Abraham, I got another thing for you. Follow me. Abraham had a son. Come up here, son. His name was Isaac. And you know, Abraham had learned to master those steps again. Remember that? He learned to follow God. He could walk up down those steps. It was easy now. He didn't have to think about it. God blessed him with a son because he followed God. There came a time that the Lord said, I want you to take him up to that mountain. And I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. Abraham didn't wait till 2 weeks. The Bible says the next morning he's got him. He get him by the arm. And he's taking him to the mountain following God. He didn't start saying, God, why are we doing this? No. He obeyed God. Sometimes your steps will graduate into a greater incline. Come on, there's steps that you got to take. You got to get to the top of that mountain. You got to take yourself. I want to tell somebody, God wants you to lead your family, amen, up the steps of faith. Amen. Sometimes it may be a rough stairway to climb or a rough mountain to climb. But hear me, God is trying to put something in your heart. Opposition only positions you for the things of God. Top of the mountain. Well, before they got to the top, the young boy said, Daddy, we got the wood here, we got the fire, but where's the sacrifice? Abraham already knew the God that he was following. He said, Son, the Lord himself will provide the sacrifice. Amen. He set the altar in place. You got to know how to build an altar, friend. Hear me, you need an altar in your life. Set the altar in place and laid that boy on it, tied him to the altar, and was ready to plunge the knife there to sacrifice his boy. And the Bible says God put a ram in the bush. Amen, an answer right there. He didn't have to sacrifice his son. God provided a sacrifice all because he learned to follow God. And faith took him up many different steps. Come on down. And when he came down, amen, old friend, he had mastered following God to a greater level. Amen, he and his son. But I want to tell you, when you bring your son to the top of the mountain and your son sees that you follow God, there's going to come a time in your life that you're going to know how to climb that mountain. You're going to know how to get up there without any effort. He could get up there himself because he's seen how God bless and how God provides. Hey, friend, this is not a playground. This is not play school. This is real thing. God wants you to make it. God wants your faith to graduate. Opposition. Thank you, man. Positions you. Opposition positions you for God to do something great. My God. Hallelujah. Where would Daniel be had he not followed God? God positioned him through opposition in a lion's den so that people could see that God is really God. Three Hebrew children. Brother CJ, after the king saw what God did, he said, let the God of Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego be honored. I want to tell somebody today, when people see you go through the fire and they watch your testimony, how beautiful it is. Amen. Hallelujah. So friend, today, whenever you go through a test, remember, this is just a test. I said, this is just a test. Years ago, when we were listening to the radio, occasionally the radio station would go beep. and the broadcaster would say, this is just a test. This is just a test of the emergency broadcasting system. Hey, I want to tell somebody in the Holy Ghost, when you go through a trial, remember this, it's just a test. But when God takes you through, God has a testimony for your life. But you got to learn how to make the steps. You got to learn how to face him. You got to learn how to climb up. You got to learn how to face opposition and say, my God will take care of me. Hey, Paul went through it all there. But God had a purpose. We don't understand. You read about our old time pioneers of the gospel. Situations happen. And we didn't understand. They didn't understand what was going on till God came through. Let me tell you a story about a little Cajun man. His name was Hoyt. 5 foot tall, and he loved to go to the old Cajun French dances. And Hoyt talked to me when I was just a boy about that. And he said, he called me by my first name. He said, Brent, he said, I got all slicked up after working in the cotton field all day. And he said, I got ready to go to the dance. And he said, I got to walk, and he said, man, I couldn't wait to get there. And he said, you know, that was a big deal. You work hard, and they had a big old dance maybe once, twice a year. And he said, they had this big dance. And he said, from way far off, you know, they didn't have cars. Everybody didn't have cars that much back in those days. And he said, he could hear some sounds. And the more he could hear the sound, he thought, woo, I'm headed to the dance. And that little Cajun grandpa of mine, that's who it was, my grandpa, he said, I could hear the music. I got so excited. My heart was beating. And he said, as I got near, he said, I could see that they had erected a big old brush arbor, a big old thing with brush on the top of it. They had taken and made a canopy out of brush. And underneath it, he said, he could hear some sounds of music and people singing. And when he got close, he said he realized it wasn't a French dance that he come to, but it was a revival. Amen. And people were there, amen, worshiping God. And he said, oh, I was going to a dance, but he said, I went to the right dance. He said, the Holy Ghost got to moving, and people were dancing in the Holy Ghost. God was filling people with the Holy Ghost. And that was the first apostolic service my grandpa received, where the Holy Ghost fell on him. I'm telling somebody today, amen, God knows and he sees. He knows how to order steps. And you look years later, here's a grandson telling you, God's in control. God knows what's going on. The 1980s, I mentioned this morning to our ministers. Ethiopia was in a famine. And I can remember the pictures of those little Ethiopian kids, their hands outstretched, hungry, starving. Their little arms looked like dowel rods. Their stomachs bloated. They looked like skeletons. Their eyes were sucking in their head. How many remember those days? And they were begging just anything. And the Lord showed me. I've seen that. And I had compassion in my heart yesterday as I was praying. And those little hands was reaching out. The Lord said, hold it. The reason why they were like that, because they had no opportunity. There was a famine in Ethiopia. They were dying of malnutrition, starving to death. No food, no opportunity. Then all of a sudden, the Lord brought me to the place of Laodicea in the Word of God, how they were rich. They were well-doing. They had everything they wanted. But he said they were malnutritious spiritually. They were starving to death. And a land of plenty and an opportunity of plenty. Then the Lord brought me to the church of today. And the Lord said, how does the church look to me today through my eyes. Friend, I want to just tell you, amen, we're starving because we're malnourished. We feed ourselves with junk, and we feed ourselves with all this stuff, but we don't pray. We don't come before God with fasting. We don't pray and read the Word of God. Some of you are mocking God, and you're starving to death. You're malnutritious. Your little spiritual being is all shriveled up. You're nothing but a skeleton. You need the glory of God. You need to learn in faith to follow God and get on board with God. You need a prayer life. You need to revive your soul and say, God, I don't want to die of malnourishment when I have plenty. You could buy a Bible at dollar store. I tell people today, you can go to Ollie's and buy good Bibles for cheap. And we could have a dozen Bibles in our house and never read it. We could go to church and the only time that we pray is when pastor begins to press us to pray before service or after service. And some of you, when you come in prayer time, you got more important things to do, to visit with your neighbor and catch up on everything, than to talk to God. How malnourished you are. You're malnourished. You're impoverished. And one day you're going to look and say, God, why did I not make it? Why wasn't I saved? It's because you've died and with all the plenty of life, even all the different things, but you didn't take advantage. You didn't take advantage of the opportunity. Even the Ethiopian children had a reason to starve because there was a famine. There's not a famine right now, even physically, but there's a famine of the Word of God. There's a famine of application. My doctor asked me, he said, give me your meals, what you eat. Well, doc, I eat this and this and this. He said, where's your vegetables? Well, doc, I like meat. I'm a meat eater. I'm carnivorous. They eat vegetables. He looked at me and said, listen. He tapped me on the shoulder. He said, I know there's a fad with the meat diet, but he said, you need some vegetables with that protein, son. He said, vegetable's not a banana. A vegetable is not just anything that you could grab. He said, you need something. You need some greens in your life. You need some nourishment. You need some peas in your life. You need some radishes. I don't like radishes. And there's some of us got so picky, kind of like a little preacher's daughter one time. We went, we had chicken and fried chicken. Man, who in the world wouldn't want a good piece of fried chicken? And the little girl, she looked down her nose and she says, I don't eat chicken on the bone. Well, folks, yeah, it was till I was a grown man, I didn't realize chicken didn't have a bone. I want what's good for my soul today. I want that old-fashioned flame of the Holy Ghost to burn. Hallelujah. My God, I want the fire revival to burn in me. I don't want to die of malnourishment. Amen. I want to follow God. Amen. God is calling Abrahams today to follow him. God is looking to pour out his blessings. How many things, amen, God wants to bless us with, but yet we are not, amen, even unwrapping the gifts that God has. It's kind of like when my little daughter was a baby and she, a little girl in church, she heard the presence of the Lord is in this place. And in her little mind, she said she could imagine the building full of presents that were wrapped like birthday and Christmas presents. And I got to thinking, it is. But how many times we go home without unwrapping anything and getting what God has for us? Oh, you lift your hands and thank the Lord for his abundance right now. I feel the Holy Ghost working right now. Amen. Come on, CJ. God wants you to unwrap some things. Get a hold of it. Amen. Come on. Amen. God is ready for you, Brother Will, to unwrap some things and put it inside. Come on. God's ready for somebody to dig in and get a hold of something that's going to help you. God's ready for something to fall in your life. God wants a people that becomes strong in the Holy Ghost. A people that learns to master the steps. Come on. He He's not interested in baby walk and baby talk, but he's looking for you to grow up your faith and become strong in the Lord and be a warrior for him and be an instrument for him today. The call of God is great. Amen. It's time to realize God has a purpose. Santa. Eternity is real. Eternity is real. And time is so short. Time is so fleeting, fast. And I look at it today. We're playing with time. And the fuse is lit. And your life is not even guaranteed of tomorrow. But God's here today. My God, what are you doing with your time? Are you pushing back the things that you need and grabbing the things you want and stuffing your life with all this trash and all these different things? And you're malnutritious. You're starving. What would you look like? How many of you have been in church over 30 years? Let me see your hand. Over 30 years. Where are your hand? Brother Mark, what would you look like in the eyes of God? I'm not asking you for an answer out loud. Think about it. Brother Martin, what would you look like in the eyes of God? Would you look like one of the little Ethiopians, bony, little hands reached out? Brother Frito and them would tell you in Haiti, you go several streets down in some areas. Some of these kids have nothing to eat. Nothing to eat. Poor, poverty. They may get a little bit every now and then. They may eat out of a trash can gladly. In Cuba, a few years ago, you asked them, people glad to get what they got. I've been to Monterrey, Mexico, Saltillo, Mexico. In Monterrey, Mexico, there's a church called the Church on the Dump. It's on the city dump. The people live there and they got tin. They scatter whatever they can find to build their houses. And when the dump trucks come from the city, inner city, and dump there, they eat whatever they can find because they're starving to death. I want to tell you, we don't have to eat out of the dump when there's a table prepared for us today in God. We don't have to be a lot and end up in the wrong place, my Jesus. I want you to hear your pastor's heartbeat today. God's looking for a people to say yes to him and get in love with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to get out of your chair, lift your hands, and come to this front this morning and say, God, start it in me. God, make me strong. Make me what I need to be. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, I want you to come and pray with me.
I need you, Lord.
Jesus. Come on, we don't have to live in the dump mentality.
I need you, Lord.
God has a church that he wants to make ready. Come on, save yourself from this nasty, untoward generation.
I lift my hands and bow my knees and worship at your throne. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now.
Come on, check your heart this morning.
I need you,
come on, check
Lord,
your heart today. Where you're standing with God.
Right now.
Is there things that you need to get right with God today? There's things that you need to take care of spiritually.
To worship at your throne.
God, I need you. Oh, God, let me love you with a whole heart.
I need you, Lord.
God, wake up that in my soul. God, let my steps become strong.
I need you, Lord.
Lord, let my faith be exercised. I need you today, Jesus.
I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now.
Hallelujah. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God.
I lift my hands and bow my knees and worship at your throne. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. I lift my hands and bow my knees to worship at your throne. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now.
Come on, brother, pray with us. Sister, would you pray right now? Come on, I can't do your praying for you. I can pray for you, but I can't do yours. Come on, would you pray that today? Lord, awaken in me, Lord. Awaken, Lord, a greater desire. Awaken my faith, Lord. Awaken my willingness, Jesus.
At your throne. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now.
Come on, God wants to position your life to do great things.
I need you, Lord.
Come on, He wants to position you where He can work through you. He wants you to be in connection with His grace and power. Come on, ask Him today. God, use me. God, I want to learn to follow you.
I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. I need you, Lord, right now. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. I lift my hands and bow my knees to worship at your throne. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now.
Come on, talk to Jesus with us. I need you, Jesus. Come on, have you been baptized in Jesus' name? Have you been baptized, friend? Have you obeyed the word of God?
I need you, Lord, right now.
Have you followed the plan of God?
And bow my knees to worship at your throne.
God, I need your touch. I need a revival. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, talk to the Master this morning.
I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now.
I need you, Lord.
I need you, Lord,
right now. Hallelujah.
I lift my hands and bow my knees to worship at your throne.
Need you, Jesus.
I lift my hands and bow my knees to worship at your throne. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now.
I want you to think with me this morning. We're so enwrapped with the not me generations where, oh, it's not me. But every one of us will stand before God. Sister Natalie, I'm not going to stand before God for you. Now I will stand as a pastor and give account. I will give an account of your soul. But when you stand before God, at that moment, I cannot say, well, I try, but you know, God, you can't come up with an excuse when you stand before God, because God sees everything. You're going to have to stand before God for yourself. You can't say, I can't. Oh, that's because Brother Jeff. I can't live for God because Brother Jeff. Brother Jeff looked at me wrong. Or Sister Carmen. I couldn't really pray because Sister Carmen. Oh, because of Sister Martin. Yeah, you remember that chicken dumpling she made that time, and she didn't give me a bowl. So I can't live for God because she didn't give me a bowl. Well, we got lousy excuses, don't we? We're talking eternity. My God. Oh, my. Hallelujah. You're going to have to stand one day before God for you. It matters. And the only way to be able to face God and come out victoriously is when you learn to walk with God every day in your life like Abraham. Don't be a lot that just follows in for the blessings and what you could get. You need to follow God for who He is. Amen. Love Him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. Amen. I want you to pray for you right now. Lift your hands and pray for you. Lord, help me. Help me to put some things together today. Help me to realize some things, Lord Jesus. Position me, Lord. Position me, Lord Jesus, to do your work. Come on, pray God would position your life. Amen. To be instrumental for Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Position me, Lord. Hallelujah. Position me, Lord. Position me to be an instrument for you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then there can be those that said, Lord, I profess, I proclaim you. I saw miracles in your name. I shouted in church. I danced. The Lord's going to say, but I never knew you. God knows everything, but He is saying here, I never knew you to have a relationship with me. You never followed me. You never walked with me. You never talked with me. The only time I ever heard from you is whenever you was in a bind, when you always had your hand out needing something and things didn't go your way. You called me, but I was trying to position you to look to me and know me, and you never followed me. I want God in my life. Be an Abraham. Amen. Be an Abraham. Amen. Be an Abraham, a man or a woman after God. Amen. God wants to use your life. Amen. Would you let God be God? Praise God. Brother Jeff, would you come and dismiss us this morning? And brother, I just don't want you to pray a dismissal prayer, but I want you to pray for the burden of the Lord that we felt this morning in our ministers group. Pray that this morning.
You know, before I pray, I want to say one thing. We walk by people each and every day. And if those people don't have this precious truth that we know this morning, they're not going to make it. And I believe that it's our duty, our obligation, to take the love that God has shined on us and to let as many people know about it as possible. There are other churches out there that they hold in faith and belief. They don't have the truth, but they've got love and they got joy, and they let everybody know, and they incorporate, and they welcome people in with open arms. And we've got that great truth. So when I begin to pray here in just a second, I want that to be on your hearts and your minds about everybody that you rub shoulders with. Because when you walk out of here, you're going to go to restaurants, you're going to go to stores, you're going to go home, and you are going to see somebody that needs to hear this. And there's plenty of seats in this church for them to be here tonight. So don't ever let any excuse of anything keep you from letting anybody know about this great truth. Lord God Almighty, I pray, God, that as we go out today, as we leave this place, Lord, I pray that we take the word that we heard. I pray that we apply it, Lord God. I pray that we take the mercy that you've given us and we give that mercy to somebody else, Lord God. I pray that you quicken us, God. Give us the words to say to somebody today, God. Not just today, but every day. Give us those words to be meaningful, loving, kind, charitable to those that need it, God. There's people out there today, God, they are bound down in depressions, God. But Lord, I know that if they will reach their hand out, but God, if we don't tell them, they're not going to know. So God, use us as a vessel as we go out today to reach others and let them know about your great name and your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.